Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Vav, and we're up to the Halakha Mishnah on daf Mem Hey, Amud Beis. And since we have a special Aliyas Neshama of Etziril Bas Yerachmiel, we would love to hear from her very son Yerachmiel himself, our very own Sir Richard. Niftru zikne Yerushalayim v'alchulayim. Okay, we have now done the Medida. We've taken responsibility for everything in Yerushalayim of deciding how things have to be handled. Now they can go back. And we only needed them for the Medida. Now the zikne otah ir take over. They bring an eglad bakar, and as it says in the pasuk, it has to be an eglad bakar, asher lo mashcha ba'ol, that it had never been used for pulling a yoke. And remember that we were worried about the fact that it says asher lo ubat ba, which seems to be a lot more broad a definition of work than something that has to do with pulling a yoke. We're going to have to figure that out. And this egla is not a korban, and a mum is not posalba. That's interesting that in the Yerushalmi it says chisoron ever is posalba. And the Rambam doesn't bring that. A lot of discussion of whether, in fact, there's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, about whether even a chisoron ever posal, and the Rambam is passing like the Bavli. Moridino talanachalitan, and then they bring this down to anachal etan. Now, there's a bit of a problem in defining what anachal etan is. All the Rishonim, almost, take for granted that the meaning of a nachal etan is a valley. Remember that a nachal has really two different meanings. I mean, a nachal is a valley simply because there are many valley floors that are carved out by actual rivers, right? So we would call, in general, a valley, a chasm, to be a nachal. But that doesn't mean necessarily has to have a river currently in it. But obviously, I mean, the pasuk says, kol ha-nichalim hochim el hayam. That doesn't mean all the valleys go to the sea. It means all of the rivers and the streams end up in the ocean. So in that sense, nachal would mean a running water, which is how the Rambam understands it. So a nachal etan, according to Rambam, is that it's a swift flowing stream. Mashenken, according to the other Rishonim, a nachal etan is a valley floor that is covered with things that make it impossible to grow. There's a lot of gravel there, and it's rocky, and therefore it's a place that things are not going to be growing in. We'll see how we derish all of that etan in the sense of being a tough place for perot. So anyway, we go down to this nachal etan, and etan means kamashma'o. It means it's tough. It's kashe. Afa pishe'eno etan. Now, this is only le mitzvah. But lemaisa, the egla arufa will still be mechaper, even if it isn't a nachal etan, and it would still be kosher. And then orfimo tabekofitz miachoreha, they have to cut its neck through. And actually, in Rishami, it says that you have to cut through two simonim, both simonim, like we do, because we're going to see that we end up learning this out of the din of richatas ha'ov. So orfenota bekofetz meachoreha, and now that place where you did this, it's osur to ever be zorea or to work it on any level. But to work it means to work that land, but it doesn't mean you can't work on that land. So you could turn it into a parking lot, and you can use it as a place where you could be zorek sham pishtan. So you want to use it to comb pishtan, even though pishtan grows from the land. You could say that's an agricultural use, but it's not an agricultural use of the earth. Or you could use it, but not kershem avanim. You could take the stones and actually use it as a place to chisel the stones and make it a commercial center for stones, but you can't agriculturally use it. Then the Zakenim of that city wash their hands with water over the place of the Mokom Arifa, and they say this strange thing, Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u. And that had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, as we saw in the opening Mishnah. We didn't spill this blood. We didn't see this guy. Now, I don't understand. I mean, these are the last people that should have to say this. I mean, did anybody really suspect that the Zakenim that are coming from the Besdin of that city, that they are the murderers? But what they mean to say is, Shelo ba al yadenu upetarnuhu, velo re'inuhu v'hinachnuhu. So we did not see this person and allow him out of our town without being melavehim, and neither did we see him in need of anything and not provide him with the food that he needed. Because even though obviously he's been murdered, he hasn't starved to death. But the point is that if you leave someone without necessities, it's very possible that he got in trouble. He tried stealing something to get food, and because of that, he was murdered. So we did whatever was necessary. Now, this is this stress on re'inuhu. So the Ben Ishkai says that this is a getter that we learn. I think it's the Ben Ishkai, which actually I might be confusing it. But that this is something that we learn from Yisro. Very interesting. So the Mekor, remember, of the Besdin that should be responsible and that not all things go to Moshe was Yisro. And Yisro is called Vayita Lonu Le'inayim. And because of him was Miyater Parsha Achat. So the whole idea of Yisro is that he minds everybody else's business. So he sees what's going on. He doesn't like the way that Moshe Rabbeinu is treating Yisro. He doesn't feel that this thing has a future. I mean, it's incredible. Guy comes in from nowhere, and he's looking, you know. So as they say, how does it go? It's in Yiddish. A guest kommt auf a weil und sieht für a mile. A guest comes just for a while, but he sees for a mile. Everybody else is so used to situations that they don't notice anything. In comes this guy, you know, and everybody's acting crazy, and they think it's normal. Well, he's not going to put up with this. He's going to save them from their own folly, right? So, Navol Tibol. So, this concept of Hayisolonu Le'enayim ends up becoming the way that the Torah refers to the Besdin. Imei'enei ha'edah, the ones that are supposed to be aware of what's going on. So, therefore, we stress over here the Lo Re'inuhu, because all of this is indeed part of the incredible function of Besdin, is to mind the development of society as a whole, not particularly because there's this halacha or that halacha. And that's why we find the idea of Besdin being responsible for the roadworks. I mean, that's unbelievable. And that any Besdin that doesn't actually make certain that the roads are properly done is considered to be a Besdin of Reitzchim, and that they're Sheif Chidomim. I mean, this is amazing stuff. So all of this is innate in what it was that Yitro originally said. There's got to be a sense of responsibility and not just of leadership. It's a totally different idea. And that's Nogea, this concept of the Ziknei Besdin coming down from Yerushalayim and the local Zakenim, the level of Besdin, the very fact that we'll skip a city that doesn't have a Besdin, nobody to talk to over there. They're not responsible for anything because they're like animals. It's the whole idea that comes out is a fantastic expression to people who see a thing like this of what's happening in the nature of the development of the world and the development of society. So this is like so much the opposite of the complete hefkeres of what you see in general in the world, in which nobody wants to take responsibility. And people are murdered all the time, and nobody knows what to do. And this idea is specifically of Levaya and of giving the food. So when they do that, then the Kohanim, even though remember we had in the Pasuk, the Nikshua Kohanim is before, Nikshu means that they're there and they're ready to act, but we never understood precisely, okay, what do they do? Well, they're the ones who say, Kaper l'amcha Yisrael asher padita Hashem v'al titein dam naki bekerav amcha Yisrael. The last part of the pasuk that says v'ni kaper l'hem adam, that's not part of what the Kohanim say. That is what Ruach HaKodesh mevasartan. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us that ematai shetasu kacha, if you go ahead and you do this correctly, bringing your egg la'rufa, adam mitchaper lahem. Okay, so we said that it's mutter to use an egg la'rufa that has a mum. Okay, I mean, it never says anything about tamima on the egg la'rufa, but the question is, why don't we learn out that a mum passes an egg la'rufa from the din of the paraduma? And now this, of course, is the opening of Maseches Parah. The whole question of the age of the paraduma versus the age of the egg la'rufa. There's some kind of interesting connection over here, obviously, between the mother and the daughter. You know, we talked about that, the paraduma in terms of the kapara on the egel. Over here we have the egg la, which is the daughter now somehow also being part of a very special inyan, which brings kapara. Is very interesting. Instead of Gavi being so frightened of those bovines that he encounters on his many walks around Tzfat, maybe he should be thinking about somehow or other the mocker of kapara is in this family. You know, not for nothing does it say if you see that bull, climb up the nearest the nearest roof and bring the ladder up behind you. So this is the mocker of kapara. So why, anyway, if they're so interrelated, why don't we make a kal v'chomer? And we should say like this. The egla seems to be far more defined in the Torah, and the Torah's makbid on the egla, because it can only be that age. It can only be the 1 year old. Masha'in kein, the porah can be any age, and ein ha-shanim poslot ba. So therefore, we should say, if even a pora where the shanim don't pasal, where the shanim are not a factor, but a mum does pasal, certainly the egla where the shanim the Torah is makbinah, eno din shiyehe mum poselba. So for sure, there should be a din of a mum. Now this is a little bit problematic because the truth is that even though this Gemara here is taking for granted that the pora has to be, I mean, the egla has to be within its first year, and the pora aduma can be any age. I mean, those are specific shitas, right? Because, I mean, that's Reb Eliezer who says that the pora is, that the egla is ben shana. And it's Dafka Rebbe Meir who says that the pora can be even 4 or 5 years old and so on. So, I mean, it's an interesting choice that we bedafka make it, that it should be a kal v'chomer. Rashi doesn't even bring the other issues. A lot of discussion about this. One fascinating approach is that, is the Rashash who holds that actually, even if you hold that the, idea of a year is the Ein Shanim Poslot Ba, the question of whether you define it as needing to be older at a particular age, which is certainly true, but that is not because the years pasal. It's because it is not called a para until it reaches that level of maturity. But that's not a din in shani poslotba. Okay. Anyway, says the Gemara, look, over there, we have a specific pasuk that tells us how unique this din of mum is by a para. Because it says, asher ein ba mum. Why is it asher ein ba mum? So we said to mima, asher ein ba mum, that comes to tell us, ba, it, meaning mommy, the para, the mum is posel, but not the daughter, ein mum posel be'egla. That's why the Torah specifically stressed ba. Says the Gemara, it doesn't make sense. Because if that's the case, if you believe that the interrelationship between para and egla is such that the ba is understood to be a reference to the egla, meaning not the egla, ba, only the para, then the opposite should also be true. And if we find that in the story of the egla rufa, it says ba, then that should mean as opposed to para, right? And yet it doesn't. Because look, according to you, lo ye sha'ar avodot posod ba. We should not have any problem with a parah aduma that is not attached to an ol. Because by the parah aduma, it does not say asher lo ubad ba. It only says that with the egla rufa. But we learn out the parah aduma from the egla rufa. The problem is that the word ba is there also, asher lo ubad ba. So we should say, lo ubad ba, as opposed to the parah aduma, we're over there, only the ol pasuls, but not general avodah pasuls, right? And yet we don't say that. So apparently the word ba is not exclusive of the pair of parah versus egla. So then why is it, that if you put an uda shel sakin, now we know what an uda shel sakin is nowadays, we didn't realize that this is an old-fashioned concept. An uda shel sakin is what everybody encounters, at least in Eretz Yisrael, when they check out of a supermarket and they have to package their goods. You can never tear off just one sakit of plastic from that uda, and it drives you nuts. Okay, so you're very well aware of an uda shel sakin. And believe me, if you saw an uda shel sakin, the last thing you'd want to do with it is to start carrying it around and worrying about it. You'll put it on your parah. So over there, that's exactly the concept of an uda shel sakin that you put on the back of a parah. I mean, just I don't feel like schlepping around this uda shel sakin. I want to rest for a moment. And it says over there, if you put that on a parah aduma, you pasuled it. But when it comes to the egla rufa, that would only be true if it actually carried. Because over there it says mashchaba'ol. So I'd have to carry the uda shel sakin. And, okay, but the maisa, it should not pasul a parah at all, because it has nothing to do with the ol. And on the parah aduma, it only says ol, and you should not be allowed to learn out the deal from the egla rufa of general ubadba. No, says Gemara. That's different. For that, we actually have a gzera shava. Since it says ol by the parah aduma, and it also says ol by the egla rufa, I mean, it's a very powerful connection. These things are very similar, and this is a mamash gzera shava. So it tells me the same way that ol by an egla rufa includes any form of asher lo ubad ba, so too ol by the parah aduma includes every form. Oh, well, that's lovely. So if you really have a ol gzera shava, so then we should use it to tell me that if a mum passels a parah aduma, that the mum should passel the egla rufa. So now we're back where we started from. So why don't we learn out ol from parah? Well, I mean, I already told you, it says ba. So we're back where we started from. That's what I asked you. I asked you, it says egla, it says ba. And now you're throwing a zereshava at me as if it's an answer. Now we're right back where we started from. So I don't really care if it's was being learned out from a kal vachomer, from the zereshava. The point is, it says ba. No. The answer really is that the ba that appears by egla rufa is and not coming specifically to talk about this pairing of egla and parah, because there's a more general application, namely that you would have thought that if the Torah is telling me that on this strange kind of non-carbon animal that is coming for hakrova, that you're not able to use an animal that was worked with, I might have thought that that's true about kachim in general. Therefore, I need to say, ba, the avoda pasos. Why would you have thought that you have a right to learn out from egla rufa? Because I would have thought it's a kal vachomer. If it says, beferish, we just learned that there is no psul of mum, and nonetheless, just using it for work makes it possible. So kachim, where the Torah is very makpid, and a mum will possible, eno din sh'avodah poselet b'hem, should not working with an animal make it inappropriate to bring on the mizbeach? This is a pretty lousy Kal v'chomer. I mean, you could always say, Ikel ha-mifrach ma'ala egla rufa, she'ken shanim poslot ba. An egla rufa has to be dafka that first year. So you see, in some sense, it's more chomer than kachim, where it doesn't have to be the first year. So we don't have a Kal v'chomer. Excuse me? What are you talking about? There's no kachim that have to be the first year? Otu kachim mileka de paslebu shanim? There's plenty of things. What about a Korban Pesach? What about a Korban Chatas? So over there, it's the idea is Keves Bashnata. That's the same thing. So fine. You don't want to make a Kal v'chomer to all of Kachim. Don't make a Kal v'chomer to all of Kachim. But you can make a Kal v'chomer at least to those that are similar and that are possible if they're not in the first year. So we still need Ba to be Memayit Kachim like those Kachim that we shouldn't learn out from Egla Rufa. That since Hashanim Pasol Pem, so Avoida also Pasol Pem, comes along the Torah to say, Ba, only by the Egla and not by Kachin. So it still makes perfectly sense. Yeah, it makes perfectly good sense, except for the fact that this is not the source of saying that Avoida doesn't Pasol by Kachin. Excuse me, it's not coming from the Ba. The Kodashim Dol Pasol Bu Avoida Miyalka Nafka, you're trying to tell me that this is how I know that kachim are okay even if they've been used for work? But we know that from the Braita, Me'adam Mavka. It says in the Parsha of Mumim, Averet o Shavuro Charutzo Yabelet o Garavo Yalefet Lo Takrivo Eilu Lashem. So we just had this recently in our Parsha Sashavua that you're not allowed to bring a mum. And why does it say Lo Takrivu Eile? It needs to say only Lo Takrivu Lashem. So Eile comes to tell me, Eile Iata Makriv. Things that are a mum, you cannot be Makriv. Avalata Kein Makriv, Kodashim Shenev Dabayim Avodah. So Gufa, from the Parsha of Kodashim itself, we learn out that Avodah is not a problem. I don't need Ba in Egla Rufa to tell me otherwise. No, because still, listen, Yitzchak, Sakata, Kaminani, Milechad, Avad, Bam, Avodah, Heter. I understand that if I did Aveira, yes, true, Eila. But how about if the animal had been used for Aveira? So suppose you use this animal to work on Shabbos. Or suppose you use this animal for Kilayim, to be Choresh with other species. So maybe that, in fact, would be inappropriate, like we find other uses the animal making inappropriate. And it should be Litzeru. So we still need the word Ba, that Aveira passels only on the Egla Rufa, and even in the event that it was an Aveda Asura, it would not Pasul Kachim under any and all circumstances. Okay, that's fair, says the Gemara. But I have another limit for that also. I don't need Ba for that. Because V'hanami Mi'ocha Nafka, I learned that out from another Pasuk in the Parsha of Mumin. Because besides the Eile, that it says, it also says, Umiyad ben Nechar, lo takrivo et lechem Elohechem, mikol Eile. So again, it stresses the Eile, which tells me that Eile yatamakriv, you can't bring these mumim even from a goy, avalatamakriv kachim shenev da behem avodah. So now we have two mekores for the same halacha. Apparently, one of them is talking about ma'avodas heter, and one of them is talking about Avodas Yisr. So why do we need the Ba by Egla Rufa to tell me not Kachim if we have two Mekaris in the Parsha Mumin to tell me not Kachim? And therefore, we're left with our original question. Namely, why doesn't the Ba by Egla Rufa tell us that only in an Egla Rufa is Asher Lo Ubad Ba effective, but not for a paraduma, and a paraduma will only become pasul if it actually is going to have a yoke on it, right? So we're back where we were. Says the Gemara, no, we're not back where we were. We actually need three different limudim to tell me that avoda doesn't pasul b'kachim. One was avedas heter, one was avedas iser, and we still need one to tell me, because I would have thought, if it wouldn't have said Bach, that both of these, Limudim, are talking about, we are coming to bring the animal to Hekdash. So, okay, you can't bring a mum to Hekdash, but you can bring an animal that had been used for work. But suppose it was already Hekdash, and you used it for work while it was Hekdash. Where over there, there are Isurim, special Isurim on Hekdesh, and how it is that you're allowed to use it. So you might have thought that that's Dafka if it was Chulin. But suppose you actually did the work with this carbon after it was already Kodesh, so maybe over there it would be Osir, because we're always more Machmir. It's Osir to work with Hekdesh. Therefore, Tzricha, you need to know that even though you were over on an Isra and you worked with them, that work itself is not going to pass on them. Anyway, getting back to the Parah Aduma, Gufa. You said before that Omer of Yonam Rav, if you put a bunch of sacks onto the Parah, it becomes possible just by putting it on. Mashenka, when it comes to the Egla Rufa, since it says the Lashon of Moshcha Ba'ol, you would only be ruining the Egla if it actually carried the Uda Shel Sakin, but not if you just put it down for a minute to rest. The problem is that we learn in the Braita, Meitveh, Ol, it says by Parah Aduma, Asher Lo Aleha Ol, Ein Li Ela Ol. How about if you use it for other work? Well, we make a Kal V'chomer. If an Egla, where we said a Mum doesn't passel because it was only Bo Mum posel and not by Egla. Nonetheless, Asher Lo Ubad Ba teaches us that Sha'ar Avodot Poslot Ba, and even carrying an Uda Shel Sakin, a Pora, where the Torah is so makpid on Pora that even a Mum passels, Ein Odin Sha'ar Avodot Poslot Ba, so then for sure, it would be possible by other things that are not yokes. Now, if you have an answer, you have a comeback to this, the Im Nafshecha Lomar, I have another approach. And that is the Gzera Shava. Nemar kan ol, v'nemar lalan ol, ma'alahalan shar avadot poslotpa, avkan shar avadot poslotpa, and therefore you will anyway, even without a Kal V'chomer, you will still know that it's going to be possible. Okay, what could I have said, by the way? I mean, that was sort of tantalizing. Im nafshech alomar, and if you've got something to say, well, tell me. What do I have to say? I can't figure it out. So what was that im nafshech alomar? Well, you could always ask, v'chi teima ikal mifrach, ma'ala egla sheken shanim poslot ba, or you could say, actually, you see, this isn't a Kal V'chomer, because kachim yochichu. Kachim a mum passels and avoda doesn't passel. So obviously the concept of mum doesn't make it more likely that avoda will passel. So therefore the same thing could be true over here. Just because the mum passels the para doesn't mean any more than it meant by kachim that therefore any kind of work will passel. Ah, so then I'll come back with you and point out that it's actually exerish of a ne'emar kan ol, ne'emar lahalan ol, ma'lahalan shar avodot, because it says asher lo ubad ba be'eg la'rufa, afkan shar avodot, even though they aren't mentioned. Oh, now, wait a minute here. If you have actual Gzera Shava, so then what Rav said didn't make sense, because Rav Yerom Rav said that by the Egla, you're only going to pass, passel it only when it actually carries it. Mashcha. So it would have to carry your package of sacks. Masha Ein Kein, by the Parah, if you just put it on its back, now that doesn't make any sense, because if you're learning it out from Gzera Shava, so then it would have to be the same. And we should say, Mimokam Shabbat. Look, I mean, you're stuck with the source of your din. You came from Egla Rufa to tell me that even carrying this package of sacks on the back is going to passel. Okay, but just like over there by the Egla Rufa, it's only if Mashcha, so then Afkan Ashatim Shoch. If you're dependent on the Gezer Shava, where does Rav get the din that just putting a pile of sack to rest for a minute on the back of a parah is going to be enough to passel the parah? Oh, the truth is that it's a machlokas tanoim. You're right about that. Tanoihi. Some tanoim actually learn out the din of other things from Egla Rufa, and then in that event, you're right, it would have to be Mimokam Shibata, and it would be limited to Mishicha. But we do find another Tana who learns it out from Pora directly. Ika de Maitla Migufa de Pora, and that would be this braita. Take a look at the braita that says the Tanya. It says by Paraduma Shalo Aleha Ol, Ein Li Ela Ol. How do we know Sha'ar Avodot? So this braita, instead of learning out Sha'ar Avodot from Nemar Kan Ol, the Nemar Lahalan Ol, it learns it out directly from the additional words Asher Lo Ala Aleha. Instead of saying Asher Ol Lo Ala Aleha, it says Asher Lo Ala Aleha, and then it says Ol, which means that anything that was Ala Aleha will pass, passel it, Mikom Akom. So then you'll say, okay, but then what's the point of mentioning the Ol? In Kein Matam Lomar Ol, that is, that Ol is already a sign of this being a working animal. And therefore, even if you're not working it, an ol will passel it, whether it's put there in order to work or whether it's just put on it to rest. So ol posel ba ben b'sha'at avodah, ben b'shalo b'sha'at avodah. Other avodot are only going to passel it if the intent is to work the cow with. In other words, you're planning on carrying it. So then that would be enough to passel the para. Wait, why don't we just darshan as a klal or prat? Ema. Asher lo aleha, aleha, that's a klal. And then when you say ol, the ol is the prat, and the rule is klal or prat, ein bichlal, yala masher beprat. So it should be dafka an ol, pasels and nothing else. Yes, but when it says asher, asher is a very broad statement. Remember the beautiful Rabbeinu Bachya about ashrei ish? And the ashrei means it's not just one issue. It's a multiplicity of so many different issues. That's the Asherah. Well, the same thing is true of the Asher of the Asherah. Asher means take into consideration the fact that, okay, so then it's a reboy of whatever type of thing you're doing. That is certainly included. Tanya Nabigag B'Egla Rufa. By the way, we have the same idea B'Egla Rufa. And that is, it says over there, Asher lo mashcha. Ba'ol. So you might think that's dafka ol. Shara avodot minayin tamid lomar asher lo ubadba, which means any work. So we have the same question over there. If any work is going to pass the egla, then why did we mention ol at all? In kein ma tamid lomar ol. That's to tell me that ol posel ben b'shat avodah ben shalo b'shat avodah. Shar avodot ein poslot el b'shat avodah, even by the egla rufa. But we have the same question we had by the parah. Ema asher lo ubadba is a klal, and then ol is a prat, and klal u prat, ein bechlal elamasher beprat, which means dafka ol, mide achrin alone. Yes, but asher is a ribui. Omer Rabbi Abohu, I asked Rabbi Yochanan if we're adding a new requirement to pasul egla rufa, which is called mishicha, and just placing the ol is not considered to be a psul. Well, define that. I mean, how much would it have to pull in order for it to become possible? Shumashichat ol bekama. How far? Omalikim lo ol. The ol itself is the shiur of the meshicha shelo mashach ba'ol. So that means the ol, but the ol what? The length of an ol? The width of an ol? Omalu mirabonet Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Rabbi Yochanan explained it to me. It means the width of an ol. Obviously, I mean, how would it mean the length of an ol? If the asher lo aleha ol is meant to be the shear, then it means that you didn't move the ol, the mashicha. I should have said lo mashchaba ol, not lo aleha. So mashchaba ol, the shear of the mashicha, is the thickness of the ol, right? And that's a tefach. So once it moves a tefach, it has now moved the ol. So why doesn't he just say tefach? No, because he also wants to tell us a din, that the shear of an ol is a tefach. Well, what do I care? What do I care? Well, you sure would care if you were trying to return that ol to Amazon and they refused to accept it because it was exactly as specified. We need to know that the shear of an ol is a tefach. And the gabi mekach umemka. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, what do you think the meaning would be of saying have egla in a nachal as the kapora for a murder that we don't know? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, yavo davar shelo aseh perot. This is something that has never had an opportunity. It's an egla bachnata. It therefore has not had a chance itself to reproduce, and it hasn't created any fruit. Let us do arifa in a kind of place, which is a tan, that doesn't make fruit. and let him be mechaper on this poor murder victim who wasn't allowed to bring forth fruit. What do you mean, wasn't allowed? I mean, we mean children, fruit, period, verivia? So you're going to tell me that if this murder victim was an old man who couldn't have children anymore, or maybe he was castrated, there was no din of egla rufa brought from? Well, I never heard of that. No, fruit that we're referring to means he couldn't use his lifetime for doing mitzvahs. In terms of the human, the fruit would be mitzvahs. So you prevented him from bringing forth additional mitzvahs in life. And then the Mishnah says, Moridim otor al nachal etan. Etan means tough. Kemashma'o, kashe. Tanu Rabbanan, how do we know that etan means tough? Shenemar etan moshavecha, v'sim basela kinecha. So we see that the Keni are etan in that they are rocky, basela. This is especially the reason for why we call the movie Rocky, right? Because we're calling it etan. That's the point. Or we have the pasuk of saying, Shim'u harim et riv Hashem, va'etanim mosdei aretz. Great. Less mile delora miza bioraita, you must admit. Anyway, acherim omrim, minayin le'etan shu yashan. How do we know that etan means that it's old, meaning it's an ancient riverbed, and it's not something that you now made in order to do your egla arufa? It's like you brought in a dump truck with a bunch of rocks and you dumped it there and you said, okay, now we have an Nachal Eitan, you know, or we dug out a place for the water to start running through according to the Rambam. It has to be Eitan that has been there. Shenemar goy Eitanu, goy meolamu. So we're talking about, unfortunately, the goyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings on Yisrael, that is a goy meolam, meaning this is not a newcomer, upstart nation. It's been growing for a while. And then orfenot abikofitz me'achorea. How do we know that? It doesn't say in the pasuk anything about the back of its neck. Ma'itayma. That is learned out from Xereshava. Gomer arifa arifa mechatata of. So just like it says beferish, the din of arifa, and over there, it's mimul orpo. The same thing has to be true over here, mimul orpo. And then the Mishnah says that the place where you did the arifa is osur to ever be zorea or to be ove. Tanu Rabbanan. It says in the pasuk, asher lo ye aved bo velo yizorea. Now that is not talking about it's osur in the future. That's talking about this is an area that was never worked on and is not suitable for planting. That's what it means. Divi Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan says, no, it's saying, choose a place that will never be used. So it's Lahaba. Rav Amar, look, you need to understand, everybody's made it, that it certainly applies to Lahaba, because it says, Velo Yizarea, and that means it shall not be planted in the future. Ki plige l'sha'ava, Rabbi Yoshia Sava, mi kati velo yu'ubad, it shall not be worked. It says, Shulli ye'aved, which is mashma, that even in the past, right? Okay. So Rabbi Yonatan says that's all very nice, but then it should have said, Asher lo ne'evad. If there's lo ye'aved, it means the future. Because mikhtiv asher lo ne'evad, and therefore it would mean dafka in the future. Rabbi Yoshia says you can't say that because the word asher is talking about a history. Which, meaning something had happened too, and that twists it to the past. So that's l'shavar mashma, masha enkin, according to Rabbi Yonatan, asher is there as a ribui, which we just used before, to tell me that any type of work is considered to be osir, not just zuria, and because of that, it's not talking about the past. It's used as a ribui. And the Mishnah said, you're allowed to do things on that land of the Nachal Eitan, so you'd be allowed to be Sorek Pishtan, you'd be allowed to make it a parking lot, you'd be allowed to be Nakerbo Avanim, Tanu Rabbanan, Asher lo ye'aved bo velo yizarea, ein li ela zriya. This would mean dafka planting. How about doing other things on the ground? Talmud lomar asher lo ye'aved bo at all, mikol makom. So then why mention lo yizarea? Lomar lecha, just like Zriya is miyuchedet. It's something that you do with the earth, not on the earth. Of course, she begufa shel karka. But things that are just being done on top of the land and are not making use of the land, such as yatzas srikat pishtan, nikur avanim, that's not actually within the land. That's inam begufa shel karka. Well, here too, why don't we say asher lo yaved is a klal, lo yizarei is a prat, klal uprat, ein beklal elam asher beprat, which means that only zriya is usher and nothing else, even if it is utilizing the ground. No, because asher is a ribui, and that's gufa, what we were saying, that anything which involves an actual use of the land, so if you would be choresh and so on, that would also be usher like zriya. And then it says, Zikneya ir rochatzim yedehem, and they say, Yadeinu lo shafchu. Turn around, Rabbanan. Behold, Zikneya ir ayakovim alachalal, yirchatzut yedehem ala egla arufa benachal. Now, why does it have to say, ala egla arufa benachal? I mean, obviously, we're talking about that egla. So it should say, ala egla benachal. It just said they were orifit, bata benom arufa. Comes to tell us the place is not in the Nachal. It's directly over the place where the Arifa took place. The Amru. Yadeinu lo shafchu et adam hazeh. Veineinu lo ra'u. Vechi al libeinu al tash beitin shofchim damim. Elo lo ba li yadeinu petarnu belo mizonot. Velo re'inu v'inachnu belo levaya. And Tanya haya Rabbi Meir omer. Kofin lilavaya. This mitzvah, being malave someone, Bezdin will force you to be malave. So somebody who doesn't want to be malave his guests, the Bezdin will force you to be malave because it's a mitzvah. And it's not just any old mitzvah. It's a schar levaya in lashir. This is clearly something that is limitless. How do I know that? Now this piece is absolutely astounding. First of all, let me just tell you, in terms of the halacha, this is not kovei ala halacha. Why? Because as the Rama says, it's become the norm for people to be meichel on their kovet for the levaya. That's one approach. There are others who suggest, and there's a report that the Chazon Ish said this is possibly true. He didn't want to be absolute about it, but it could be that the idea of Levaya does not apply to people who are traveling together. And since nowadays, wherever you go, you're going to be taking a bus, you're going to be taking a train, you're going to be on a highway, and there's people all around that over there, that's not called on the Derech. Each one is Nase Melaveh Lechaveiro, some suggest. And therefore, we wouldn't be Kofin Levaya for one of those two reasons. But Mi'ikar Adin, Kofin Levaya, and what's more, the story that we're about to bring is one of those incredible magical stories that seems to be kollel all of history, that goes back all the way back to the Klol of Gan Eden, has to do with the nature of Tchias Hamesim, is Nogea Yaakov Avinu, and the oil that he got for, which became the oil of Hanukkah, and where he had oil in that place, which was Dafka in Luz, which was Ulam Beit El Hishema Ir, which is obviously not the same as the Luz, which is in the Nachala of Yosef, which is clearly not the same Luz, which is the Mokum that they make to Cheles, which doesn't seem to be the same Luz, which is pure magic, in which no one can ever die, which is also called Luz, that comes out of the relationship to Yir, which is also the name of the single bone in the spine of a human being, which the Gemara says is the Mokum of Tchias Hamesim, and that Luz, nothing can destroy the Luz. Even nuclear weapons can't destroy the Luz. Same way the Malach HaMavis cannot kill anybody who's living in Luz, and that only somebody who says a lie is blown up out of Luz. It's a place of total truth. It's this magic, right? So it's one of these incredible things. And the Gemara is going to utilize now part of this story as a relationship to the nature of Levaya, which is fascinating, because Egla Rufa is responsibility to avoid death, and it comes out that Luz is the one place that death has no shlita, and so there's something very magical going on. So it starts with Rabbi Meir saying that you can see from the idea of Luz that there's no limit to the schar for being malav. Ein lashir. Shenemar. This is a crazy story. We have this, first of all, the first magic of luz that we become aware of it's being magical is that there's no way to get into it. So here is Klal Yisrael. They want to capture the city of Luz. And this is not the city of Luz here in Shoftim, which is the city of Luz that it was Beit El that Yaakov Avinu had, obviously. Yet somehow they all seem to come together in the Midrashim. So what happens is they see, the Shomrim see, a man who's leaving Luz. Oh my gosh, there was nobody here before. This guy must have been Luz. He must know how to get into Luz. So they ask him, show us how to get into Luz. If you show us how to get in, we will do chesed for you. He shows them how to get in, but he doesn't take them. We'll see what it means he shows them. And what chesed did they do for him? That the entire city was killed by Yisrael when they came to Yorishit. And that man with his whole family, they sent out. So this is sort of like a Ruach of Hazona kind of story, that they were maftiach. Now, it says, this is amazing, that that guy goes to Eretz Achitim, which is a different place. He builds a city, and he calls that city Luz. And it says, Hu Shema Ad Hayom Hazeh, and we have a Kabbalah, as Rashi says, wherever it says Ad Hayom Hazeh, it means forever. And therefore, as the Braita says, well, that's the same Luz where they die Tcheles, which it obviously isn't. And that's the same Luz that Sancheriv came, and he was unable to have any impact on it. It wasn't Bilbul. He was unable to exchange the population like he used to do. Nebuchadnezzar came, tried to attack Luz, nothing. Lo Hichriva. The Malach HaMoves tries to get people in Luz and take their souls. Nope. Ein lo reshus avorba. He can't even get into town. And as a matter of fact, what do these poor old people do when they're absolutely sick of it? Oh, God, how many years do I have to live? They have to leave town in order to die. So that's what they do. Zekenim Shabbat. Bizman Shadatam Katzalayim. When they're sick and tired of the same old life because they're too old to renew, Yotzi Chutz L'Choma. They have to go outside of the Choma of Luz, and only there can they die. So now imagine a Kal V'Chomer. First of all, this guy was not even Jewish. I mean, he's a Kanani, right? And he was Lo Diber Bepiv. It says he showed them. He showed them doesn't mean he brought them. So he didn't explain to them. It doesn't say Vayisaper Lahem. So Lo Diber Bepiv, Lo Alach Baraglav, and he was nonetheless Goram, not only Hatzalah for himself and his family, and for that moment, but Atsof Kol Hadorot. So Misha Osele Vayah Baraglav, imagine if you have a guest and you actually walk with him, Alachat Kama Vekama, this would be why Beis Din is going to see to it that you're going to be Mekayim this mitzvah. By the way, how did he show them the entrance to the city? Bamer Alehem. Chizkiah says, well, he sort of twisted his lips, you know. It's over that way. And some says that he actually showed a finger. It's like, but he didn't want to do any more than that. And that was enough. So he barely lifted a finger, as we say, to help them. And Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan, Bishvil Sheknani Ze, Her Obe Etzba'o. So this is the Rabbi Yochanan learned with his finger. Karam Hatzala Lo Ulazaro Ad Sof Kol Hadorot. Om Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, if you find yourself alone on the road, you are never alone. Yasok Batorah. This is the most beautiful levaya that you could possibly have. The anakim legargarotecha, you're wearing these beautiful necklaces around your neck of the protection of all of the malochim that are mislavim to you with the love of the Torah that is around you. V'yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, b'shvil arba'a psiot shiviva parola Avraham. So remember that we've been dealing with this concept of Levaya, which draws from the Inyonim over here of Egla Rufa, and we learn it from the astonishing fact that the Torah has the Beis Din saying that we didn't murder this guy. So that means that we consider the responsibility for Levaya to be so fundamental that they would be actually considered to be responsible. And so we've been going through various inyonim that speak about the incredible zechut of Levaya, and we find, actually, remember that the zechus of Avram Avinu himself, in terms of the Eshel Avram, those who learn that it means the Lamed is Levaya, actually would be Malava, his guests. So here we talked about the zechus even of this Knani for being Malava by helping Yisrael in. And here too, Paro, who was Malava Avram Avinu, because it says, Vayitzav alav Paro anashim lo yishalcho, which means that to be Mishaleach, just like the Medrash tells us, Vayishlach bin Parshas Bishalach, Vayi Bishalach Paro, it means that the Mitzrim were Mamish Malava Yisrael. Nishtabe bivanav arba meot shana. Shnemra vavadum v'inu otam arba meot shana. That's what gave him the power over them. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. Om Rav Yudah Amar Rav, kol ha-melavet chaviro arba amot be'ir, eino nizok. If you walk with someone, even just for 4 amos on his way, he, that individual that you walked with, will not be damaged, because it protects him. Ravina was malavet to Rava bar Yitzchak arba amos be'ir, and indeed, some very dangerous event happened to him. Motel Yada Ezekah, and he ended up being saved from it, the Derech Nes, which made it clear to him that he was actually saved by the fact that Ravina was Malavian. Tana Rabbana. A Rav should walk with his Talmud ad Ibura Shel Ir. Remember that the Ibur of the city is the last house, which is within 70 amas of the previous house. And then we make the square around the city, but here it's talking about the last house. A friend to another friend should walk further, go all the way out to the Tchum of Shabbos, Apayim Amos, and a Talmud L'Rav should just walk him without any kind of limit. Obviously, it doesn't mean any kind of limit, so what do we mean? Ein lo shiur? Because, I mean, it's impossible to just walk with him all the way to wherever he's going. So that means, Omer of Sheshes, what it means is, ad parsa, up until a whole 4 meal, 8,000 ames, there would be a mitzvah to be malava. V'lo amr d'alo rabo she'ino muvak, avo rabo muvak, shosha parsaot. This is only said about somebody from whom he's learned divrei Torah. But from the person that's given him his whole derech in Torah, that has taught him most of his Torah, that's how we paskin about rabo muvak, he would have to walk for 3 parsaot. Once it happened that Rav Kahana Alvel Rav Shimi Barashi Mipum Nahara Ad Beit Sanita Debava. So as we had this Gemara before, that Rav Kahana walked Rav Shimi all the way to this place called Beit Sanita. Beit Sanita means a place of tamarim, of palm tree. And Ki Matu Hatam, when they got there, so Rav Kahana says to Rav Shimi Barashi, is it really true that people say, Ani tzinita debava mishnei Adam HaRishon itinu, that these trees have been here from the time of Adam HaRishon? Well, Marlais Reb Shimi Barashi said to him, you know, you just reminded me of something. At karatan milta de yom Reb Yosef Reb Chanina, mai dechtiv be'eretz lo avar ba'ish, v'lo yashav Adam sham. It seems to be a very strange pasuk in Yirmiyahu, a land in which no one has ever passed, and no man ever settle down. I mean, isn't it obvious that if nobody even passes through, how in the world could anybody have settled there? So what would be the point? The point is that lo yashav doesn't mean literally to settle. It means eretz shegazar aleha adam harishon liyishuv nityashva, and eretz shelo gazar aleha adam harishon lo nityashva. That's the point. Now you'll see how this little story is actually a tremendous insight into the nature of Levaya. We've spoken about this, Benogia, the Livyasan, and the meaning of what it is to have a Livyasan in the world, and what the meaning of Levi is. who, that's essentially the word for Levi. Brucey, please mute. The meaning of Levi is the one who is milaveh, which of course is what we learned before, that the Torah itself is considered to be the Leviat Chen. That's just, not just metaphorical. The point over here is that the Gemara is actually teaching us that the concept of Levaya provides the presence of the person who is Malaveh to the person who is Meluva. So in other words, if Paro was Malaveh to Avraham, that gave Avraham a dependency to some extent on the vision of Paro. In exactly the same way that the entire world developed, as here the Gemara is saying, according to the way that humanity saw its future in the world, and because of that, if Adam HaRishon, so to speak, which is the entire species, is gezer, that this place should be a place for palm trees, it becomes a place for palm trees. There's a concept of a commitment of vision, which provides a connection to things. And so the way the Maral talks about it is that look, there is this profound interconnection between human beings, in which a human being would be completely and totally alone, wouldn't have any connection to the earth, is totally vulnerable. Every human being represents, to some extent, the sense of what humanity is. The more connected he is to people that are walking him and so on, the more his presence becomes something that is meaningful in the world and is less vulnerable because of it, even though nobody's with him at that moment. The more he becomes disconnected, the more vulnerable he becomes. So therefore, the entire story is a story within a story. In other words, when he walked him all the way to Beit Zedi, to the Bovel, the insight into the meaning of the myth that people said, that, you know, people would say, these trees have been here from the time of Adam HaRishon, became very clear in terms of the actual Levaya itself. And because of that, we say that the Beis Din actually says, we did not pater him without Levaya. And what that means is literally this idea that we're talking about over here, without Levaya, because had we been Malavahim, even though maybe this was 40 miles further than we would have been Malavahim too, but had we been Malavahim, we would have saved him because he would have been less vulnerable. Rav Mordechai Alvil, Rav Ashi Magrunia, V'ad Be'Kipi, V'amrile Ad Be'Dura. Okay, we of course don't know exactly where that is, but Rav Mordechai walked him all the way. And Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Kol She'eno Melaveh, U'mitlaveh, Ki'ilu Shofech Damim. Somebody who doesn't walk his friend, or someone who doesn't allow himself to be walked. He says, no, don't bother, please, it's fine, I'll be all right. It's as if he's spilling blood. Because, you know, if only when Elisha had come to Yericho, and over there the water was undrinkable in Yericho, and what had happened there was that Elisha did one of his nisim, and he made the water sweet again. So what happened was that there were a lot of people that were all the kids in the area. They were working for Walt, and they would sell all of this water to people who didn't have what to drink. And so they were making tons of money, because anytime anybody needed water, they'd have to order water from Walt. So what else are the kids going to do, you know? So now that Elisha fixed the water, these kids were furious, because now they're not going to be making any money. Because who in the world is going to buy Perrier when you can have Elisha water, you know? So because of that, they attacked Elisha when he left the city. Now, if only the people in Yericho, who would have had sufficient hakaras teva, understood the value of Levaya, if they had walked out Elisha, that whole terrible story of the 42 kids and the bears would never have happened. So, Ligilog Yiradu Bim Latinokot, this was a tragedy, because these teenagers, they attacked, and they were making fun of Elisha, they were calling him Baldy, and so on. So it says over there, Vayami Sham Betel. So Elisha left Yericho to go to Betel. He's going up the road, Olebadera, when the Arim Kitanim Yatsu Minair, Vayit Kalsuba. They were making fun of him. Vayomer lo, go, okay, walk up there, Kiriach, Alei Kiriach, Baldi, hey, go, Baldi, get out of here. You messed up our entire parnasa. Amr lo, Alei, away, Ikrachta, Alei de la Tabakom. You made this place terrible. Now we don't have anything to live from. By the way, what is the meaning of Ne'arim Kitanim? Isn't that a bit of an oxymoron? If they're Ne'arim, then they're not Kitanim, and if they're Kitanim, they're not Ne'arim. So how could they be Ne'arim Kitanim? No, the point was, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Sheminu Arim Min HaMitzvot, these people were completely emptied out of any content. That's the meaning of Ne'arim. I've pointed out that the word manure in English comes from the same idea, manurim. All of the usable nutrition has been removed from this food. So now it becomes manure, right? Interesting. So therefore, they were ketanim in the sense also that they were ketanei amana. These were people that had no belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All they knew was their bikes and their little vault packages on the back. And if Chas v'Shalom, anything would happen to that, their entire future was gone. Never occurred to them this might be the best thing that ever happened to them, because then they get into university, end up making a lot of, who knows. So,
who moved my cheese? It's the theme of who moved my cheese.
No.
Do you let me read it?
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Anyway, Tana. The truth is, says the Brizer, no, they were Na'arim. But they acted like children. Bizbizuatzman kiktanim. What a stupid way of acting, making fun of the Navi. Makifla Rav Yosef. I understand Bechlal what the whole issue is. We know that there was a place called Ne'urim, and why can't that be what it means? We had the same thing by Aram Yatzur Gedudim, Vayishbu Mi'eretz Yisrael Na'ara Kitana. Na'ara Kitana, we said, over there, how could she be both a Na'ara and a Ketana? It's a contradiction. And Rabbi Badat explains that it means a little girl from the town of Ne'urim. So why doesn't it mean the same thing over here? Maybe they're called Ne'urim because they came from Ne'uran. Yeah, but over there was no city that was defined. Over here, it says the whole thing took place in Yericho, right? So Hatam lo mefaresh mekoma, Baruch mefaresh mekoma. It says mefaresh the whole story is about Yericho. Anyway, so what happened over there? Vayifan acharav, so Elisha turns around. Vayir aim, and he sees. Vaykalalei b'shem Hashem. So what he sees, what does he see? I understand, he didn't see anything. Mara'a, amara, it means he was ra'a, that he put his eyes on them. Because kiditanya Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, so because of that, when the Chachamim look into a thing, and they are careful to define it, so then that is Ma'ir Midas Hadin. Shmuel Amar, Ra'a, he saw that all of these people were Nita Abrami and Iman B'Yom HaKippurim. These were all people who in their very Sheresh were completely lacking in a chibur to the world. And because of that, it wasn't that he stomped because they made fun of him. He responded to this. He saw that these were people that were completely detached from Klal Yisrael. First of all, they had all been conceived on Yom Kippur B'Isr. And Rabbi Yitzchak Mafra said he saw that all of them had bluriot ra'alahem ke'amoriyim. They had their hair cut the way the Amori had their hair cut with the bluriot on their hair. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ra'ash lo aitabem lachluchit shel mitzvah, like we said before. They didn't have anything. They weren't involved in any Indian of Kedusha. Yeah, but that doesn't help, because it doesn't give you a right to get rid of them. But Dilma Bizar, haven't we said many times that even if you see something that is useless, but you never know what may come from these people. So maybe we even had that you shouldn't take away a Yerusha, because maybe the children of the child that was being taken away would end up using that money for Limud Torah, and so on. So how could he have done that? Omar Rabbi Elazar, he was able to see that Lobam v'lo bizaram at sof kal hadorot, that they were complicit. It was like the Maaseh with Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Ra'ah, that nothing good, there was not even a sheresh that could possibly spring into good ever from these kids. So what happened? Two bears come out of the forest, vatitzena shtayim dubim min hayar, vatevakana mehem arba'im ushnei yiladim. So these bears come and they tear apart 42 ketanim, or neurim. So Rav Shmuel argue, chad omer neis, one said this was a neis, and one says this was a double neis, a neis betoch neis. So the Mandi Omer says it was a neis. He says there was a forest there, but there were no bears originally, and they weren't indigenous to the area. And because of the fact that he was mistakel on them, then these bears suddenly came out. And the other Mandi Omer says, no, it was a double neis, neis betoch neis, because there wasn't even a forest there originally, no forest, and no bears. That's why that becomes the famous Yiddish saying, when something is completely and totally, simply not true, lo dubim velo yar, as they say. There weren't any bears, there weren't any forests, pay no attention to the anti-vaxxers. Right. Well, why do we need there to be a forest? What's wrong if there's just bears? Why do we need a neis betoch neis, for the heavy dubim, for the heavy yar? Well, because be'ite. So the Rashi's pshat over here to be'ite is because bears without a place are scared. They're not going to attack people if they don't have a sense of having a place to run to. So they would have been afraid to go ahead and destroy all of those kids. Others learn that bears are much scarier when they're coming out of the forest. So either that would be more befitting to these kids, or that in the event that they had seen the bears and there wasn't a forest, so then they would have been afraid to be near the bears and they would have run a long time before. But like this, the bears suddenly jump out of the forest and they go, who was just telling me about this Masa in Eretz Yisrael of this guy where a bunch of bears came out? He saw a bunch of bears. Was it just yesterday or 2 days ago? Somebody told me there was this, was it you, Barnea, that had this priest had written a travelogue? Somebody sent me a travelogue in Eretz Yisrael. Amazing. It was like an unbelievably rich, the way that the country was at the time. So he described like indigenous bears, apparently were very common in the Dubim of Eretz Yisrael. Omer Rabbi Hanina, Bishvil Arbaim Vishnaim Korbanot, Sheikriv Balak, Melech Moav, Hufkuum Yisrael Arbaim Vishnaim Yeladim. It cannot be a coincidence that it says over there 42 kibvasepas, 42. The place of 42 that we have is that the Bilam actually had Balak bring 42 korbanos, and that was supposed to be the makor of the curse for Yisrael. So the impact, and remember, the whole idea over here that we're talking about is impact of vision. And this is stories within stories of that type of impact. So 42, after all of those years, 42 korbanos gave him the keyach of destroying 42 yeladim, who were useless yeladim, but nonetheless were the result of what it is that he wanted to destroy. What? That was what he got out of the korbanos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Li'olam, Yaso Kadam B'Teiro B'Mitzvahs Afa Pishalo Lishma. Shemitoh shelo lishma, bo lishma, shebischar arbaim v'shnayim korbanot shekriv Balak melech Moav, in zoch v'yatsa mimenu rut, sheyatsa mimenu shlomo. There was an incredible zechus that he had. Those 42 korbanos, even though they were brought shelo lishma, they ended up actually being the source of his zechus in fathering David HaMelech, ultimately, as we'll see in a moment. And those 42 korbanos turned into Elef Olot Ya'ale Shlomo. Because, as Rabbi Yossi Ben Choni pointed out, Rut was Bitoshel Eglon, Binoshel Balakaita. That she was actually a granddaughter of Balak. So he really did get so much out of those 42 karbonas. So what are we saying? That this is like the source that he had from 42 karbonas was that he destroyed things? Says the Gemara, yes, because the truth is both are correct. The inyan of the shalolishma, that also he was zocha to. Ta'avato mia leklalav. He wanted to destroy. That doesn't mean that this is his chus. But the point is that what it is that a person invests is an investment that bears fruit. It may be to his own detriment, but that type of investment bears this type of fruit. Since there was also, he was being Isaac in Inyanim of Mitzvah, which was the Avedah Sacrabanus, so it, well, even though it was Shalal Lishma, it nonetheless gave him the Zechus to have Rus.